A little while, steps for getting help. The passage that was read in your hearing, the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52, is a picture of a man needing help and needing it desperately. As you read the story, there is no question but that the man's blindness is a picture of blindness, darkness, and need of a world that reels in desperation for help. Are you blind? Or can you see? Not lost, just marinating you. Don't think about anyone else being blind. Think about yourself being blind. The need may be physical, mental, or emotional, or spiritual. It may be some problem with the mind, some desperate loneliness, or some tragic sin. Whatever it is, this passage of Scripture spells out the steps for getting help. I was going to do this in points. This would be point number one. And this is not one of the ways to get help. I got five of those. But this point is, where am I located? And I titled this one Jericho or Crestview. Because this man was in Jericho, but I am in Crestview. In the days of Jesus, Jericho was one of the most important cities in Palestine. One of the world's main commercial roads ran right through the city, north and south. The city was only about 17 miles from Jerusalem. And it was thought to be one of the oldest cities in the world. At this time, it was Passover season, which means that thousands of pilgrims were making their way to Jerusalem. The pilgrims were passing right through Jericho. Blind Bartimaeus knew this. And he also knew, help me, Holy Ghost, that religious people were more sensitive to the need of helpless people. See, you thought people just in the 21st century thought you would be willing to help them. But it's been a long time, and people still think that religious people will help them. And that's why they come to the church. Yeah, when they get in trouble, because you're supposed to help them. If you don't believe it, just ask some of them. Blind Bartimaeus was one of the helpless people who had to beg for a living. Whatever he got, someone else had to give it to him. It was possible that blind Bartimaeus had heard that Jesus was in Jericho. If so, he knew that his best chance to find Jesus would be to station himself at the city limits. Didn't want to take the chance of him already having arrived on the let's say he was going north or south on the entrance to town. He wanted to catch him on the way out. You have to situation yourself so you can find where Jesus is. You need to know. That's why you need to be listening, so you'll know where he is and where he will come by. Where Jesus was to be passing by as he left the city is where he stationed himself. Whatever the case, Bartimaeus had to beg for a living, so he sat by the main highway begging. A man or a woman must go where he knows that Jesus will come by. Where Jesus passes by, there will be a blessing in the way. A man must go where he can hear Jesus, and so he will not miss the chance of eternal life. You got to get in the way. Doesn't matter where it is or how far you have to go, you got to get in the way. The first step in getting help is believing the report that you have heard about Jesus. That's in verse 46. You got to believe it. Something got to stir you down on the inside to make you believe the report that you've heard. Blind Bartimaeus sitting by the roadside heard all kind of noises coming from the people passing by. The noise of individuals, the noise of groups, the noise of whole caravans. He stayed right there and listened to them. He heard the noise of feet trampling along, of animals and of conversations, of laughter and of playing among the children. He heard all kinds of talking, serious talking, joking talking, commercial talking, vain talking, rude talking, and off-colored stuff, religion. He stayed right there and listened to it. But then something happened. The texture of the conversation and everything seemed to have changed. The size of the crowd and the noise changed. Let me stop right here. There is a noise that's a good noise. There used to be a principal at Baker. His name was Mr. Blackshear, and he came to a classroom, and the teacher that was in the room was named Miss Dottie Blue. And when he walked to the classroom, he just stood at the door. Said he folded his arms and closed his eyes and just stood right there. Said she turned up and looked at him. She said, "Mr. Blackshear, so what's wrong?" So he said, "Nothing, Miss Blue." Said, "I'm just enjoying this busy noise." Said, "I'm listening to children turning pages in books." He said, "When you are a teacher or a learner," he said, "that's a beautiful sound." That, he said, "it's noise, but it's good noise." See, there's sometime we talk in church. It's good talking. Sometime you talk in church, you ought not to be talking. He said, "This is a noise," and he heard it, and he noticed the change in the noise. See, when you're listening and you're looking for Jesus, things will happen. They began to talk. Somebody he might have heard somebody saying, "Jesus of Nazareth, we heard that he was in the city." Then his antennas perked up. And he began to listen and pay close attention to what was being said. Blind Bartimaeus had been blind for years, maybe for life, with no hope of ever seeing. But then he heard about one called Jesus of Nazareth, who was claiming to be the true Messiah. For the first time in his life, hope swelled up in him. He knew there was a possibility that he might be healed and enabled to see. From the very first day that he had heard about Jesus, he had hoped and longed for a chance that Jesus might pass by. Just if he come by and I get a chance to talk to him. Because he had believed the testimony that he had heard about this man Jesus. See, you got to hear something. Something got to tickle your fancy to make you notice, to pay attention to it. Listen to another fact. Sitting there by the roadside, Jesus passed by. He had no way of knowing Jesus because he had never seen him before. And I did tell you he was blind, didn't I? But I keep telling you he had never seen. But I guess the point I'm trying to get across to you is that you can see with more than your eyes. That's why there are a lot of people that have 20/20 vision. They blind. They can't see because they're too busy looking. And that's why they can't see. He couldn't see him, but he was blind. He could only hear people walking and talking. When he heard people talking about Jesus, he believed that it was he. Blind Bartimaeus believed and trusted what he had heard. See, you got to trust in something or somebody. You got to know that this is it. This is where I need to be. Blind Bartimaeus knew he was at the right spot because he listened and he paid attention to what he had heard. Point number two. Point number one is found in verse 46. Point number two is in verse 47. In order to get help, you have to acknowledge that you have a personal need. You cannot get help if you don't realize that you need help. Some of us think we got it made already. We don't need Jesus. So he can't help you because you don't know that you have a need. As soon as Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus, he instantly began to shout out to attract Jesus' attention, creating as much fuss and noise as he could above the crowd. Bartimaeus acknowledged his need and he confessed it publicly. You can't do stuff with Jesus behind closed doors. It might begin behind closed doors, but it won't end behind closed doors. He did not approach Jesus secretly or quietly by asking someone to go in his stead, someone close to Jesus, and appeal to Jesus on his behalf. That's one thing you got to do. You got to go to Jesus for yourself. I might can go talk to the judge for you, but you got to go to Jesus for yourself. He had a desperate need and he accepted the fact he wanted the help of Jesus. No matter what all else he might have heard, he knew that he had to go to Jesus for himself. Never been around him, never seen him. He only knew what he had heard. He only knew the testimony of other people that had been shared and he had heard. That's why your testimony to other people about this man called Jesus is real important. You need to be telling them. Then when he come along and he found out with Jesus, he cried out, "Thou son of David." And this was an inadequate concept of Jesus. And don't think too hard of blind Bartimaeus. You got a misconception of Jesus too when you first come to Jesus. And I can tell you what mine was. I told you before, and somebody probably know what I'm fixing to say. I felt like everybody was going to love me because I had shown up committed to Jesus Christ. Oh, how foolish I was. You too, if you think they're going to love you. You know, you just got to have, we have a misconception about it because we don't know him. And it's the same way about people. Until you get to know them up close and personal, you have a bad idea about them. Until you get to know them. And after you get to the place where you think you know them, you will stay around them long enough, you will find out somewhere something else about them that you didn't know. So we just got to stay there with them. We just have to stay. It's that way because we don't know him. When you get to know him up close and personal, when you learn about Jesus, when you receive the Holy Ghost as your Redeemer and your Savior and your Lord, then you'll know more about him. He cried out for mercy, not for anything else. He was blind and he was a beggar. Yet he did not cry out for a house, did not cry out for clothing or food. He cried out for his most basic need, mercy. Mercy. Point number three. You must be persistent and you must persevere after Jesus. Well, if he want me to be saved, why he won't just come shower me whether I want it or not? No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. It's the same way with people. You can't make people love you. They have to love you because they feel the need to love you. If you're going to get to know somebody up close and personal, you're going to have to persevere. We'll let you come so far. But then we're going to put up that barrier that you can't see, keep you from getting any closer. But you have to persevere. You have to stay there. Most of us, if not all of us, have met people in an instance and seemed like that it was going to be a real fantastic friendship and relationship. Only 6 months down the road, you find it to be entirely different. You have to persist. You have to work at relationships. Blind Bartimaeus was desperate and determined, and in dead earnest, he knew what he needed. He would not be discouraged or silenced or stopped. He repeatedly cried out, "Thy son of David, have mercy upon me." Bartimaeus persevered. He had a need, and he would not stop seeking to have his need met. His faith in Jesus was strong. He really believed that Jesus could help him. His faith stood against all the voices of discouragement and against the feelings of so many of them that it was useless for him to keep crying out to Jesus because they knew he was blind. But Bartimaeus knew something they didn't know. He knew that he wanted to see, and he had heard enough about Jesus. Oh, yeah, he had heard enough about Jesus to know that Jesus Christ could give him his sight. Perseverance is the answer to desperate needs. Persevering in prayer and persevering faith will get you to where you can find out what God will do for you. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. "Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." So this tells me that sometimes we search for God and all of our hearts not in it. If all your heart's not in it, you're searching in vain. You're just searching to get to the point what you think you need. You have to search for him with all of your heart. Not part of it, not 9/10, 100% of your heart. You have to search. And this is what blind Bartimaeus was doing. He was searching for Christ, seeking for him. Even though he was blind, the blindness is what made him seek for Jesus. I don't know what your blindness is, but you need to be seeking him. Could be lying, homemonging, dope, backbiting, mistreating people. Doesn't matter. But you need to be seeking for Jesus. Come on, worldly voices will rise up against you in attempting to pull you away from where you're trying to go. And it will pull you away and tell you that it's useless. To convince us, it tries to convince you that your need is too desperate to be met by a man called Jesus who's not even here. They will not encourage you to try what God have for you. They will encourage you to try what the world have for you. I stop by to tell you that you need to seek after Jesus. You need to persevere. You need to be persistent in your doing. Don't stop because somebody get in your way. You just keep going. You need to keep your eyes on the cross. You need to get your eyes off of people and get your eyes on Jesus. That's why you need to stay focused. That's why the old farmer put blinders on the mule so he can only see in front of him. We want to see everything that's going on around us rather than looking at Jesus. This is what gets you off track. The next step to getting help is that you must be eagerly expecting to receive Jesus' help. Verses 49 and 50. The crowd must have been great. Jesus heard somebody calling him, and he stopped and he stood still. Huge crowd, but he stopped in the middle of the crowd. And he sent for the man. And when Jesus stands still, you have his undivided attention. Not that he couldn't have given it and kept walking, but he thought enough of it to stop still. Whenever you call on Jesus for real, you get his attention and he stops. Whatever he's doing, can wait. But if there's a soul that's crying and desperate in need, you get the attention of Jesus. Might not get the preacher's attention. Might not get the deacon's attention. But you will get Jesus' attention when you call on him. And this is what Brian brought to. He kept persevering, calling, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy upon me. And Jesus heard him, and he stopped and he stood still. See, you need to get his attention. You need to get his attention. I know you somebody real important. If you just call him one time, it ought to be enough. No, but you got to stay right there. Blind Bartimaeus, and I pictured him sitting, and y'all have to excuse me, I'm just a little country boy. I pictured him sitting on the side of the road on a 5-gallon bucket. Because that's what I sit down on a lot of times. And he was just something he heard. Because see, he was at a place where he had to be begging, and so he needed something to keep him focused so he could stay right there. And so he was calling. And then when Jesus stood still and said, bring him to me, call him, the Bible says he cast away his coat that he had so nothing would stop him from going to Jesus. Help me, Holy Ghost. I saw something right there. I saw all of my friends that I had in the yesterdays. I saw myself, said, you got to cast them away. You got to get out of this stuff. All of those groups that you used to be with, those special interest groups, you have to cast them aside. Because you are going to another level. You are going someplace else. All of that stuff that does so easily beset me, that stopped me from doing what God would have me to do, I got to get rid of it. And sometimes it's something that you think that you cannot do without. Somebody that you think that you cannot do without. Something that you think that you just got to do. Some habit I just have to have. I just got to do this because I cannot live without it. When you get Jesus' attention and he stop and call you, all that other stuff have to go by the wayside. Because you cannot bring other stuff to Jesus. You have to come. You come just as you are, but he'll take it away from you. I know I said cast away, and now I'm saying come just as you are. But see, you cast it away, you don't know it's there because your eyes are so focused on what you have just accomplished. Well, think about you. Think about you. Don't think about nobody else. You were blessed enough to go to the, I would go to the Chevrolet place and buy me an Avalanche with everything that's on it and have it white on the top, blue, royal blue in the middle, and white down around the bottom. With everything on it. Everything. Now, and I love that 1986 I got the same color. But if I had a 2014, I'd sell it. Mm-hmm. Because you're going someplace new. You got something different. And it's better than where you are with what you have. That's what Jesus is telling us here, that we got to get rid of this. Do you like where you are? Sure, because that's all you've ever known. When you get to know Jesus, you're going to a new level. And this is what blind Bartimaeus was doing. That's why he cast off everything that he had, threw his coat and stuff, and went running to Jesus. Can you imagine a blind man running in a crowd? Somebody, I just know it. I wasn't there, but in my mind, I see somebody saying, hold on, brother, I'll take you. That's what people do to you when you get in the church and start working and mess up. somebody snatch you, get you aside, and tell you what you ought to be, how you ought to be operating. You cannot bring the stuff in the world in the church. Not if your heart is right. If your heart's not right, you can bring it. And if somebody in the church who's working, whose heart's not right, and they get you, that's two of you that's messed up. Now we got double trouble. We got you. We got a new one and an old one. And it says you don't mix new wine in an old bottle. You know, so what you have to do, somebody will bring you to where you need to be. But when you sure enough find Jesus, you are submissive. You are submissive to the word of God, and God will fix you and hook you up with people that are walking the same road you walk. But you got to be seeking him. Blind Bartimaeus was seeking Jesus. He had a problem and couldn't nobody solve his problem but Jesus. He knew what he needed. The way he was, what he was looking for, he had an eagerness about him to find Jesus. And finding Jesus was finding a solution to the problem that he had. The next step in getting help is requesting precisely what is needed. That's in verse 51 and 52. Blind Bartimaeus knew what he needed and had no difficulties in stating his need. He did not waver. He was not like many who are vague in their prayers and requests. He had examined himself and knew precisely what he needed. Blind Bartimaeus needed to make a confession. He made the confession. He called him my Lord. That's admitting that my means he's taking it personal. He's not somebody else's Lord right now. He's mine, and I'm taking him personal. And that's what Jesus needs for us to do. He called him that, and he knew exactly. Jesus said, what can I do for you? He said, I would like to have my eyesight. I need you to bless me with a house and a job and all this. Lord, I just want to see. I just want to see. And that's what a lot of us that's in the church today need to do is pray. Lord, give me my eyesight. Give me my spiritual eyesight so I can see what you need for me to do. Blind Bartimaeus, ask him for what he needed. And Jesus will provide just what you need. When you know what you need to ask him. If you don't know, just tell him to bless you with the Holy Ghost. Then you will find where you need to be and what you need. Every one of us have a need, but what we do not like to do is admit that we have a need. We want everybody to think I'm okay. Everything is 100. No, there's not a one of you in here. No, I'll look at any of you eyeball and tell you there's something wrong with you somewhere that you need for Jesus to fix. And some things that's wrong with you can't nobody else fix but Jesus. And I'm glad you asked. I heard you. It is the forgiveness of your sin that you have committed. Sometimes we think we because we're in the church doing churchy things and we have not asked God to forgive us of our sin. We think he just automatically forgives us. Let me stick a pin in your balloon. You got to ask him. And after you ask him, and I don't know how he does you, but we want to get a blanket and cover it. All of them in one walk. No. He'll forgive you and save you. But you're still going to have to go to him for each one of those sins. And you're not going to tell everybody. You don't have to tell everybody. Just tell Jesus. And don't look around. Keep looking at me. If the person beside you could see everything that you've done, they'd get up and leave. All of us will be running in just that many different ways because all of us have stuff in our life, in our past that we've done that's ungodly. And so therefore, none of us are perfect. We are only perfect through Jesus the Christ. Blind Bartimaeus knew exactly what he needed, and he asked Jesus for it. He didn't ask somebody else, didn't have somebody to go for it, didn't have no rabbi to pray for it. He went to Jesus for himself. And that's what each one of us need to do. You need to go. Yes, you can have other people to pray for you, but you need to go to Jesus for yourself. If you want help, this is what you must do. You must know exactly what you need, and you must ask him to provide you with what you need. And just because you ask him and you don't see that he's done it, doesn't mean that it's not already done. Blind Bartimaeus was something that was done. It was done immediately. Some of this stuff that's in us, God will do it. But then you got to get out of what you are doing. Got to stop doing some things that put you in the position that you're in. And most of us have health issues that if we change our diet, That would help a whole lot if we change our diet. You notice I didn't say y'all, I said we. If we would change our diet and the way that we, then that would help us a whole lot. And God, with some of us, it takes God to get us away from our diet. And you don't have to be trying to lose weight, you're just trying to stay alive. Blind Bartimaeus knew what he needed, but Jesus still asked him. And Jesus knew what he needed, but he asked him. He knows what your needs are, and he's going to ask you, what would thou have for me to do for thee? Then you can tell him. If you're a liar, tell him. If you're a whoremonger, tell him. Whatever you are against, that's a sin, you need to tell God about it. But I'm with you on that one. I don't know why I need to tell him. He already knows. But you have to confess it so you will know that within yourself that he knows. And you know it up here, but you need to know it in your heart. And he wants to help us. But we have to let him help us. Blind Bartimaeus believed in the power that Jesus had to save him. That's why he went to him for him to save him. My master, you're mine. I own you. You have to own Jesus Christ as your own Lord and Savior. Can't nobody else own him for you. You have to own him for yourself. He had faith enough to believe that Jesus would heal him. And Jesus told him, thy faith have made thee whole. Because of the faith that you have in me, it's made. Jesus could see his faith in him, that he had faith in him. So he blessed him and gave him what he needed. And in my conclusion is my last step for getting help. And this is the one that I've been trying to get to, not because it's at the end, but because it's the good one. And in order to get help, you must be following Jesus. You must be following Jesus. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10. When thou hast eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. That's a heart of appreciation, of being grateful and thankful. And when God have been good to you and you decide to follow him, you telling him because you're following him how grateful you are for the things that he's done for you. He says in that verse, when I done bless you with the land. It's the second giving of the law where he telling them what they ought to do. They said, I bless you with the land. And when you are full, when you've eaten of the good of the land, don't forget about me. Remember that you are supposed to be following me. We need to stay there and follow Jesus Christ. Then Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That's a genuine conversion when you take up your cross and you follow Jesus. You don't listen to what other people are saying. You focus. You say, this is where I should be. This is what I should be doing. And this is what I'm going to do. And you don't just do it for 6 months. You do it every day. Every day. Every day. You follow Jesus. And no, do I have to sell everything? No, you don't. You just follow Jesus and stay in the pattern that he have for you. You get up, go to work. If you're at work and you're supposed to work 8 hours a day, work 8 hours a day. That's following Jesus. If you're supposed to take a 15-minute break, take a 15-minute break. Don't take a 20-minute break. So those are the things you do when you take up your cross and follow Jesus. Help somebody. Do what you know you're supposed to do, and God will help you. There's the idea of growing and wanting to learn more and more about Jesus. He says, come in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. He says, come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul. He's saying, come here. Come here. You don't have to be high on the totem pole. You can be low on the totem pole and be where God needs for you to be. You don't have to exalt yourself above everybody else because you're saved. When you need help, you need to go to the place where you can be helped. If you need $1 million, don't ask somebody on the corner with a cup to let you have money. Go somewhere where the money is and check with those people. He said, come unto me. If you come to Jesus, he's going to help you and provide just what you need. You need to know where your help comes from. My help comes from him who gives me life, health, and strength. So we need to stay there, and he will help you. He helped you a long time ago when he went to Calvary on the cross. He died for the sins of the world even before you were born. He was making a way for you. He was he had found a way to help you get out of whatever you're in. What you're in, if Jesus can't get you out of it, you won't get out of it. Jesus Christ can help you, but you have to follow the steps that he have to help you with. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Don't move. Be unmovable. Stand on the word of God. When everything else seemed to fail, you stand on the word of God. And if you stand on the word of God, they may beat you. You may get bloody. Everybody that walked by you may turn their back on you. But if you're standing on the word of God, you will survive. This world is not my home. I'm just a stranger traveling through. So if you're trusting in him, then you will not have to worry about where you will spend eternity. That's the most important question. Where will you spend eternity? If you leave here before 2014 ends on the fifth day of January, where will you spend eternity? If you will not spend eternity with Christ, with God in heaven, you need to come to Christ just as you are. And with that, we'll extend an invitation for you to stand. And if you don't know Jesus, this is your time. This is your time to come to Christ, because you come to the realization. You come to the place where you could receive help. You heard the word of God from the word of God. And if you need help, this is the place you need to come. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. Becoming a member of the church won't help you. You need to come to Christ. And when you come to Christ, you will find a church. Will you come to Christ just as you are? And he will save you. He'll take you and all your mess, and the rest of us can't see the mess that you're in. Because if we could see your mess, you could see ours. When you come to Christ just as you are, he will save you. But you have to make the move to come to him. He's done all he's going to do for you. He made a way on Calvary for you to be back in fellowship with God. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? God bless you.